16, verse 15, Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples. And this is what happens in verse 15. And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades," or the gates of hell, "shall not prevail against it." Father, we bless you, we honor you, we give you all the praise that you desire. And Father, we thank you for opening up our minds and our hearts. We thank you for annihilating the spirit of divination that tries to lurk in your church and destroy the spirit that makes men and women alive. Father, without the Spirit, the word will not be valid. But with the Spirit, God, people will live, both in the sanctuary and streaming. Father, you came to breathe on them. So breathe on them as I minister the word of the Lord and bring clarity to what you've been saying for a very long time. But I chose to open up my ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. Now let me begin to regurgitate what you placed in me, and let it be beneficial to the lives of the people who are hearing on today. In the matchless name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, go ahead and take your seats in the presence of the Lord. Make sure we do have some guests that are here today. I encourage you, after you get out of this service, instead of going home, go over to our gymnasium, Family Life Center. We have some items over there that were donated. And later in the service, Sister Zandra is going to do some announcements to give you more clarity about those things that are happening. Are y'all ready for Pentecost? I am so ready. Now, people who are doing religion are not ready, because religion was in existence until the birthing of the church. Pentecost is about the birthing of the church, not just speaking in tongues. We got it kind of confused, but the church would not have existed without the day of Pentecost. So I'm all excited about that. So I want to take you into some things that I think are very important. And my title today is an unusual title, but it's a title that I think you need to hear. It says, "The Apostles Established a Church, Not a Hospital." The apostles established the church, not a hospital. I talked to some people on yesterday. I said, "How long have you heard that the church was a hospital?" They said, "Pretty much all of our lives." Well, that's not correct. They did not birth a hospital. We have a tendency in our culture to rename things, use language about things for a moment that we're in. Could it not be that somebody needed the church to heal them, and they healed them, so they now interpret the church as a hospital? People have a tendency to label you in one day or one event. So if we could just go back, we will find that people were being healed, but they were being healed, Sasha, in the streets. They weren't being healed in the church. They were being healed in the streets. So why won't we call the streets a hospital? Because when the shadow of Peter passed by, men and women were healed on the streets. Handkerchiefs were taken from their body and laid on the sick, and they were healed. Why didn't we call that place a hospital? Because to rename the church is to deviate the church from its original purpose and cause. So let's just go on just a little bit. Okay, he says to Peter that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it, or the church of the gates of hell. The church was built on Peter Petros rock. That's what the church was built on. His revelation of who Jesus is, not was, is, caused him to be renamed by Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "This revelation that you have, Peter, is so deep that we're not going to leave you as Simon. We're going to change your name because it's a representation of a rock. Now, for many of you, you have a tendency to put a lot of trust in inconsistency, which means you will build your life on inconsistency. I dare say many of your friends are inconsistent, but they're still your BFFs. My thing is, Sasha, I was looking for consistency. And anything that did not function consistency, it didn't get my trust. But we have a tendency, because we believe in a hospital more than a church. And I'm not saying don't go to the hospital, but the church is not a hospital. Okay. So upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, shall not prevail against us. But listen here, Simon, I'm going to change your name. Peter, his given name was Simon. Jesus nicknamed him Peter, which means rock. John 1 and verse 42, it reads this way. John 1 and verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, son of Jonah." Bar means son of Jonah. "You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. Since you got a revelation, somewhere in your life, some stability is going to come into your life where I can now build a foundation on. Simon, Simon, back and forth. Peter, Petros, rock. I'm looking for something to build on, but I can't build on inconsistencies. So Peter, now that you have a revelation, you only stabilize when you receive revelation. The reason most things are not trustworthy is because there is no revelation of what they should be doing. You're not going to change the doctrine of this church. I stabilized in that. I see what it will do. You're not going to change the structures I put in place because it stabilizes. I've walked through the fire. I've been through the flood. And I found that this will uphold me. It upholds me. It upholds my marriage. It upholds the ministry. It upholds my business. Why would I go astray from the rock? All right. So stay with me now. I found Peter, Petros, rock. Now I'm going to build my ecclesia. I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my church because I found something I can trust. Not a denomination. Not beliefs that have no long-term impact. Listen to this. We have redefined the church with our words so that the church is not regarded as God sees it. Because we use our words to redefine something. It's just this simple. You see somebody doing something and you name them after what they're doing. They used to call us the popcorn church because people stand up a lot in the church. We didn't just get that reputation. But they didn't know how to define us, so they called us the popcorn church. They didn't know my name, though. Oh, that's the pastor that don't put up with no mess in the church. So that's how they define me, because homie don't play. Some of y'all about to get to know it. If you continue on that track, you're going to know it a whole lot sooner. Because the real church can't put up with foolishness and be the real church. Okay. I'm not asking you to respect me. I'm asking you, if you don't respect, don't come. Okay. So We have redefined the church with our words so that the church is not regarded as God sees it. The church is not a hospital. It is an assembly of believers called what? Ecclesia or ecclesia. How in the world are you going to take assembly of believers and then call them a hospital? But that's what we've done. And then when I start acting like we the church, you want me to come out in a white coat. And the reason you have a problem with me is because you joined the redefinition of the church. So the church is not a hospital. It is an assembly of believers. Let me help you. If you didn't believe, you should not be here. If you don't believe, you should not be in this assembly. Well, I have a problem. But you should dismiss yourself from the assembly. You should never be a part of a group that's called the church and not believe. It is a gathering place for believers. It is not a gathering place for doubters. It's a gathering place for believers. It is not a gathering place for critics. It's a gathering place for believers. It's not a gathering place for controllers. It is a gathering place for believers. We come and sit before the man of God because we believe that he is giving us the word of God and bringing us more into our identity. Ecclesia, the church, called out ones, separated. Now, I have no problem with the hospitals, and if I ever need them, I'm going. I'm so glad the units are there. But when we redefine the church, where do we go when we want to increase our belief system? So if we alter it, then people come in with this wrong perspective. They come in low on belief, and they leave lower on belief. There is no way for you to have a faith project to come into what you know is the church and leave without faith. I'm kind of wondering about you, because everything I preach and teach is filled with faith. But you have redefined us with limited knowledge about me and limited knowledge about this, and you thought I was building what you came out of. Church is not a hospital. We might as well close down St. Vincent's East if we got refreshed. We don't need those hospitals if the church is the hospital. The church has a function, and the hospital has a function. We both help people. I thought you were going to tell us don't take medicine anymore. Take every prescription that they give you if it's advancing you. They give prescriptions, I give scripture. It sounds similar, but it is totally different. If if you were coming for a prescription, you made the wrong turn. But if you were coming for scripture, scripture-based conversation, you showed up at the right house. You streamed in to the right church. Now, this assembly, I'm helping somebody. This assembly, stay in your car if you don't believe. Don't use up the space on these seats if you're not going to believe. If you had no intentions of believing, why did you turn me on this morning? Why are you even a part of my staff if you don't believe? Why are you taking money from this church and you don't believe? I can tell you don't believe because the money is for purpose. And what are you doing with it? All right. Hebrews 10, verse 25. How dare you take advantage of God's church? No heart, but you're hungry for money. I'd rather be broke and believe in God's church than take from God's church and not believe in the church. If I didn't want to increase my faith, I would have stayed in the bed this morning. Hebrews 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's the church. We assemble together. As is the manner of some. But exalting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Let me help you. When we're called the church, we assemble as believers. When you were a non-believer, you didn't go to church. Once you become a believer, you don't stream. You go to church. You go to the house of God. You meet at a house of worship. There ain't no such thing. Well, aren't we the church? No, we assemble together. If you're out of state, I'm coming to your state. That's fine. But you assemble intentionally together. Because if you're streaming, how can you, while you're streaming, do this? Exalting one another. How are you going to exalt? Well, I did type something in. Well, but we didn't all see it. We didn't all see it. I know you're typing now, but we don't all see what you're typing. We have to wait till later on this evening to see what you wrote. So that when we come together, if we were overwhelmed and we assemble as believers, overwhelmness could only last until you embrace your brother or your sister. See, when you understand the church, it ain't poor, pitiful you. Because when you join up with us, the wealth of strength that's on us, every joint, assemble, every joint, supply it. I'm troubled by people who stay down when I'm up. I'm asking myself, what are you connected to? What are you joined with? Could you be having an identity crisis? See, I don't know who built your church, but this is an apostle-built church. So the resources of heaven are in this place. The encouragement of heaven is in this place. The power of heaven is in this place. The word of God is in this place. So we assembled ourselves because we believe that the speaker has heard from God and came to tell us what God said to us all. That's why we assembled, because we came together to hear what God has to say to us. That's the assembly. That's the church. That's why it has to be built on something solid. something consistent in his thinking. You may have been unstable back then, but you need to be stable now. So God can build. God's looking for something to build on, and he only builds on stability. Let me show you why we got some of these problems that we have at our what we call assemblies or church. So people treat us like a hospital. People visit hospitals when they are sick or have someone they know who has been admitted. So if you want to govern your church attendance, your church attendance is based on whether or not they have an issue they can't fix. They only come when they got a sickness. Because you see, you made it a hospital. Who hangs out at the hospital and they're not sick? So it's only when you're in crisis that you go to the emergency room. And the church doesn't have an emergency room. It has an altar. So they're wondering what the attendance is. The number of people present or the number of people who have an issue that they can't fix. I watched it for years. They get better, they get discharged. That's one of my points. When a person shows improvement, a hospital will discharge them. When a person shows improvement, now you leave discharge, light duty, bed rest, limited activity, because you just left the hospital. Don't put any weight on them. Don't give them any responsibility. Give them leave of absence. Make sure they're prescribed something for their pain, so they don't develop in their afflictions. Because see, you made the church a hospital where everybody's weak. Everybody's in gowns showing their butts. See, because you made it a hospital. So the only strong people are the nurses and doctors in the hospital. So you get upset because you see it as a hospital because we didn't bring you a wheelchair. You want us to stroll you around. And you want a bed so you don't roll out because you've fallen so many times. You made it a hospital. God didn't make it a hospital. So instead of being dispatched, you get discharged. So I'm up here preaching thinking you're going to go out and win the city. And when I release you, you're thinking, I just got discharged. So what I say that would empower you only puts a demand on you because you're thinking, I'm being discharged. And I don't know about you, but I've seen some people happy to get a slip that says, I cannot function fully. Light duties, which means I don't need to lift anything. just schedule your next doctor's visit, which will probably be a few months from now, and then we'll see you in worship again. It's all in the minds of people. You will only worship when you're sick. But if you know you're the church, you worship at home until it's time to come back to worship collectively. Some of y'all, because you see the church as a hospital, you run around and make statements. I don't need the church when you get an attitude. I don't need the church. Because you see it as a hospital. And right now, you don't have an issue that will send you to the hospital. So you can go at it alone because you think nothing's going wrong. So I don't need the church because I see it as a hospital. So I don't need the church. I don't need that apostle. He ain't nothing but a pastor to me. I don't need him because I'm not sick. And you deal with the church like you deal with the hospital. So some people visit the hospital once a year for an annual exam. So we'll see you on Easter. The reason we see you on Easter is because you see the church as a hospital. You only come once a year, maybe on Christmas. Everything I'm saying is what you have done in your own mind to redefine the church. So you're worshiping twice a year. You're assembling twice a year, if not once. And then you think you know the church. And in your mind, the church is just a hospital. Every July, I get my annual exam. I see my physician once a year. I go to the doctor just to get you, if nothing else is going on, for once a year. But I see that as a hospital. What if I take that type of mentality for the church? Can you imagine how disconnected I would be when I came to church and they talking about worship and I'm looking around at everybody and I'm trying to see if I see somebody I saw when I was here last year at Easter? And then I wonder, why has the church changed so much? Or why has the hospital changed so much? I'm walking up in there and I'm saying, golly, how do you even get registered in here? So much has changed. But if you were here and you were a part and you were assembled, you would have been moving with the change. You would have heard every message. You would have been in every huddle. Let me tell you why some people treat the church like that. Because they think it's a hospital. That's why they do what they do, because they think it's a hospital. Everybody that's sick get a chance to act ugly with the nurses. They get a chance to be disrespectful, irritable. Not knowing when they come into the church, the ability to deliver you is when you hit the pool, the parking lot. You don't know why most people don't get delivered, because they don't see the church is the church. We're going to reset the bones, but you're going to be down for about 6 weeks. You never believe for instantaneously
deliverance.
You see the church, and I'm not talking about laying hands on you. I'm not talking about you falling out. I'm talking about you just seeing the church as the church, and some would just come off of your life. Well, they say I'm gonna need stitches, and they're gonna have me all bandaged up. And how am I gonna take care of myself? You minimize everything down to a hospital. You're in a powerful church with a hospital mentality. Let me help y'all. Those of you who are wondering about the men. Men do not like to go to the hospital. So if you make the church a hospital, masculinity is not going to go. You can always tell when you have flipped the church into something it shouldn't be, because males will not attend. Young children don't like to go to hospitals. Only women go to the hospitals. So the church is filled with women because somebody made the church a hospital. And you begging that joker, that man, to come. Some of your women that's been married, you had to beg him. He can't even get up off the floor. He's crawling. Can we call the paramedics and get you to the hospital? It's all because we have minimized the church down to a hospital. We've done that, and because we've done that, we can't get any help when we come to the church. You want to know what you're going to fight the devil with? What I'm preaching. I give you the word so you can whip the devil. This is your prescription. I don't care who questions what I preach. I'm not your doctor. That's why I said, these folks, yeah, let me show you how to do church. So they start shouting, or they start singing a certain way, or they start preaching a certain way, or they start doing a certain thing in one service. And then they call it church. If all you know how to do is sing, preach, play, you don't know church. Because church is about an assembly of people. And churches that don't grow don't know how to deal with people. And it doesn't mean you have to be nice to everybody. Some of them foul spirits need to be dealt with. Because that's what the church done. The church is where the believers gather. When you invite someone, you're inviting them that they may become a believer. The believers were added to them, not the hell raisers. Whenever there is an addition, I expect the atmosphere to go higher because we have more believers now. The more you add believers, the more I don't have to preach. Now, the more if this is a hospital, everybody's got their opinion. This is what we teach. And then the more you have people who believe what you teach, the more the atmosphere begins to expand. And then the Spirit of God becomes more conducive. And then lumps start leaving you and we didn't even touch it. Because that's what happens in the church, a lump in your body. They go in and they examine, they do an examination, and then they're going to tell you whether or not that they can do surgery. In the church, if you are a believer, it doesn't matter. There will be no scarring after we're done. Y'all missed that. There is no scarring, because when God heals you, he doesn't open up the tissue. He just dissolves the problem. That's what happens in the church. So if you want to minimize the scar tissue, then you have to be a believer when you come to church. You cannot be sitting there measuring, is this like the last church or hospital I visited? Some of y'all switch churches like you'll switch a hospital if they don't say what you want to hear. Some things that were being preached wasn't bad for you. It was good for you. You just went to another place you consider a hospital so that they can tell you what you want to hear, which means that you're not going to live much longer, whether it be naturally or spiritually. I don't want you to raise your hand, but are you a believer? I didn't want you to respond. I want you to think. Because believers are not just those who do church. Believers understand I am the church. So I'm careful where I take myself, because I'm the church. Careful what I do with myself, because I'm the church. I'm going to take care of me physically, because I'm the church. I need to be around here for a while, because I'm the church. My time's up. But I ask sincerely, not in a sarcastic way, but if you ain't ready to believe, don't come back. Because we're working on something here. Yeah, we're working on something here. And we don't need doubt to interfere with what we're working on. You know, it's not that it's not working. You can't see it because your energy is in the opposite direction. It's not that I'm not standing in front of you, it's just your back is turned to me. So if you want to turn your back to me, won't you go ahead and walk in the other direction? We'll be okay, because we are the church, and every negative thing you say about us, the gates of Hades, the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. And we don't need your money. It just means God gonna send some extra money to your neighbor to get the job done. And if you leave upset, God's gonna send some happier people behind you, because we're the church. And we begin to attract people who want to be happy, because we're tired of talking to people who love being sad. Because when you're the church, there's a promise over your life, that anything you've been through can never void out what God has sent as a promise over your life. So I look at every problem and tell every problem there's a promise that's stronger than the problem. And I believe, and if you're in faith, I believe that if anything comes against my life, it is fuel for my fire. You can't take me down because the truth of the word, I am destined to go up. My Bible says I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and never beneath. I'll never let my mind drop to the level where Satan can have his way with me after all these good years, productive years that I've seen. Oh, absolutely not. Release a praise in the atmosphere.
If you're ever in the Birmingham area, we'd love to see you. Stop by, because everyone is welcome at Refresh Family Church. It's full of friendly people, a warm atmosphere, and a powerful word. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. or our empowerment service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We're located at 117 12th Court Northwest in Birmingham, Alabama. We'll see you soon at Refresh. Want to find out more about Apostle Stephen A. Davis? Well, log on, because StephenADavis.org is now live. That's right, log on to StephenADavis.org now and you can find out all about him. Watch live broadcasts and get all the information you need at StephenADavis.org. Available on all platforms. Log on today. Refresh Family Church. As we worship together, remember our five goals: serving the needs of families, reaching the lost, equipping the saints, reaching the nations, and transferring to generations. At Refresh Family Church, we're more than just a church. We're a nation. To find out more, log on to StephenADavis.org. We'll see you next time.